You're listening to The Call to True Beauty on WCOK. It's made possible by Verizon Wireless, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and Clark Atlanta University. Tonight's topic, going from a victim of domestic violence to a survivor and an advocate. Tonight's guest is Kemia Motley, who is here to talk with us about her story. And what she shared with us is her story of violence, having been involved in a marital relationship in which resulted in her being shot and also her child being shot. And she shared with us before the break how she recognizes the importance of not only having survived what was an attack. You indicated you were shot in the face, in the neck, in the back of the head, and in the back.
Yes.
But you survived.
Yes.
And you indicated your daughter was also shot in the head.
Yes.
And she survived. And as a result of that, what are you doing, Kemia? I mean, I know, you know, you tell us of how miraculous it is. And I can tell you, listening to your story, it's definitely a miraculous story. And so I know that you're here for some divine purpose.
Yes.
Possibly to educate someone who may be listening to our show right now about how they can also decide to escape a violent relationship, but also escape it in a way where they continue to be safe. And it doesn't result in a situation that you had to go through. We're definitely glad you survived. We appreciate your courage in sharing your story. But what can you tell our callers about what they can do to safely leave that relationship? Because one of the things you mentioned, you said, I said I'm going to leave because I'm going to divorce you. But you said, as I thought about it, that wasn't the best thing to do. And before I have you comment on that, I want to remind callers that we are happy to take your calls tonight. At 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255. This is an opportunity for you to ask questions. Tell us about your story of survivorship, or if you're in a domestic violence relationship and you want to talk to us about a safe way to escape that relationship, now is the time to give us a call here at WCOK. We do have Jennifer in Marietta. Jennifer, thank you for calling in.
Thank you. I wanted to say thank you for sharing that story because it does give a lot of people going through that a lot of strength. My question was, how did you get through the mental aspect of dealing with breaking free from an abusive relationship? Because I know it's just as difficult to, you know, actually physically remove yourself. But what are some things, some strategies that we can do as the victims at that point to overcome that situation in the mental aspect?
Well, during that time of recovery after the shooting, I had a very good support system going on. So, number one, I did have my family and my friends around that were very supportive people that always offered that encouraging word. I did get involved in counseling. My children and I were involved in family counseling, and I was involved in individual counseling. And those two things as well were very pivotal in reaching the point of being healthy again. And I cannot emphasize enough the importance of having a close relationship with God. I prayed a lot. I journaled a lot. I was very close with my church community as well. Just having all of those things in place really helped me get to a point of being healthy, feeling whole again.
Yes.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
I really appreciate you giving that information because some of us coming from people from color. Sometimes they kind of stray away from that counseling aspect. So,
yes.
Me personally, that's kind of something that I was dealing with at that time. I'm still going through counseling. So it was just difficult to get that follow-up service almost to where you can get out of that situation. And like you said, if you're involved with the church, if you're a firm believer in God, all of those things help a whole lot. And like you said, the counseling also helps because it kind of gets a grasp in your mind, the reality of the fact that, you know, that's something that you went through and you don't have to go through it anymore. And it helps you break that cycle.
Yes. And one thing that I did not do that I felt would have been very beneficial is to become a part of a support group as well. You know, when you're going through abuse, you feel like you're the only one that's going through it. And you don't have necessarily people in your circle that truly understand that. So being a part of a great support group as well helps you not only get the counseling that you need through the facilitator, but you're also able to hear from other women, maybe some strategies that they've tried, and just have that camaraderie, you know, going on with them as well.
And Jennifer, I just want to say that I'm glad that you're in counseling, and I appreciate your comment about when you said people of color sometimes are hesitant to go to counseling. I also want to challenge you, just people in general are hesitant to want to go to counseling.
Right.
But what we recognize is that it's extremely important for counseling to take place, because to Kimia's point, you know, a lot of times people think they're the only person that's going through it. And what we know is 1 in 4 women will be a victim of domestic violence at some point in their lifetime. So if you think about 25% of the population of women that we're aware of going through this abuse, and we also want to recognize that men are also victims of domestic violence at a rate of 1 in 7. We also recognize the importance of those people being healed, because the rest of the community is coming into contact with that individual, and they bring that abuse with them, right? Unless they have the opportunity to heal and to go through counseling and to focus on what they can do to become whole again. And so I want to commend you, Jennifer, for doing that, for recognizing the importance of getting counseling, so that you won't do what Kimia mentioned. And I wanted her to share, and she did, her pattern of abuse, where she said, you know what, as a teenager, I was dating abusive guys. And then I ended up marrying an abusive guy. I went and my dad engaged in abuse. And so if, in fact, we don't get counseling to intervene and say, okay, what is it about this circumstance that has caused you to respond in this way? And it doesn't mean you have a problem or there's something wrong with you, but it's a learned behavior. Like Kimia, you mentioned, it was normal for you to see abuse because throughout your life, that's all you've seen.
Exactly.
And so what counseling does and support groups gives us the opportunity to kind of enlighten ourselves and say, wait a minute, even though this has been my experience, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with me, but I do need to recognize there's a healthier way in which to engage in relationships. And counseling is oftentimes the avenue for us to recognize that.
Exactly.
So Jennifer, thank you so much for your call, and we celebrate you for getting counseling, and we also want to make sure that you recognize that you are a survivor and not a victim. All right, thank you for your call. You're listening to the Call to True Beauty on WCLK. Right now we're talking to Kimia Motley. She's a domestic violence advocate who shared with us her story. And we are taking your calls at 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255. Are you a victim of domestic violence who is now a survivor? Are you a victim of domestic violence who's in a domestic violence relationship and you're interested in seeing what you can do to escape that relationship? I do want to remind you, we always have counselors in studio here at WCLK. So if, in fact, you call us and you have a challenge that you would like to have immediately addressed, we do have a counselor here that will be available to speak to you immediately to address that concern. So please give us a call, 404-880-9255. Tracy in Atlanta, thank you for calling us.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. Kimia, I wanted to ask you, so I hear your story's riveting, and thank you for sharing that, first of all. But I wanted to ask you, you know, what role do you think self-esteem played in your whole story? So I hear that you always dated abusive guys, and your father was maybe an abusive man, and it sounds like maybe your husband even was subjected to some form of abuse, and maybe his, you know, behavior may have been rooted in low self-esteem. But can you tell us about self-esteem and what you've done to actualize, you know, yourself and what you're doing for your daughter as far as that is concerned?
Kimmy, let me ask you this, to piggyback on Tracy's question. Did you feel like when you were going through this that you had low self-esteem?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. It's interesting. Growing up, my father was, he always felt that he needed to be very honest with me so that I wouldn't have a skewed view of things. So, you know, he would call me fat. He would say, you know, that I was a blimp, things of that nature. And so, you know, a little girl's relationship with her father is very important. That's the first man she has, you know, communication with. And, you know, by the time I was 13, I was called the B word by my dad. So being in relationships, you know, a lot of times if you, in those abusive relationships, once you let down your guard and you say, you know, I really feel like I'm kind of fat, they would use that against me. And I felt like nothing. You know, there would be people that would say, oh, you're beautiful. And I didn't feel beautiful because of that foundation that had been laid. And a lot of times when you do have self-esteem, well, I'm going to speak for myself, having low self-esteem at that time, I settled in a lot of relationships for things that I felt that, well, this is all I deserve. Mm-hmm. And my ex-husband definitely had self-esteem issues. I think he really wanted to be like his father. He looked up to his father to be a certain type of man.
Was there a history of abuse in his family?
His mom and his father were not abusive towards one another, but his father was abusive towards him. But he didn't feel that it was abuse. He felt this is how men raise their boys. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where he got those patterns of behavior from.
Wow. When you say how men raise their boys, one of the things that we've been talking about is trying to engage men around the issue of domestic violence. And so what are some of those things that you think he learned about how men should raise boys that we now know are just not healthy things to teach a young boy about relationships?
Well, If a boy is being disrespectful, it's nothing wrong with punching him in the chest. That's what you do, you know, to get their attention. It's okay to belittle them, to berate them, to call them names, to get them to toughen up. That if you're too soft with them, you know, they're going to be hurt later on in society. So you're the one that's got to be that strong arm or that strong hand in the household in order so that society does not hurt them later.
And what you recognize from that is obviously that's not a healthy response and how we should engage men. And I think one of the things we talked about, I know when Jennifer called in, indicated about counseling being a concern, but also trying to get men into counseling.
Yes.
Can be the most challenging because of the fact that they oftentimes are told you're supposed to be tough. You know, you don't need to go in and have someone help you address your anger, how you respond to people, what your behaviors are. And so what you see them doing is trying to make it out on their own.
Yes.
And then actually getting themselves in a situation where they are in abusive relationships with people and they're engaging in abusive conduct because they've never been taught and laid that proper foundation. And I think that's critically important. I know we talk a lot about relationships, but what we know is that people learn substantially everything they're going to learn in life between ages 3 and 7.
Yes.
And so when you think about that and the relationships they have with their parents or grandparents or school teachers or whatever those relationships are, they're going to develop how they respond in those relationships at that point. So it's important for us to think about, to your point, what they're learning from their dads, what they're learning from their moms, about what's appropriate and what should happen in a healthy relationship.
Exactly.
I definitely want to thank you, Tracy, for your call. And we also now have another call from Red in Norcross. Hi, Red. How are you?
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I'm great.
Thank you so much for your show. Thank you so much for your guests.
Thank you.
It's really uplifting, Mom, because I went through domestic violence in 2009.
All right.
And I believe a lot of women go through it and they just deal with it just like the guest said. Is her name Kiana?
Kimia.
Kimia, yes.
Yeah, okay, I apologize, Kimia.
No problem.
You know, we deal with it being black women because we're raised around it. We see aunts, uncles, even so much as it being like accepted in churches. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's just crazy. It's just crazy. And I feel for a lot of girls who go through this, now, today, because there's so much help out there. There is helping hands, and but my question really is, now that I'm a survivor and a victor, you know, I went to the PDAV program here in Gwinnett County for 2 years. I still stay in contact with them at any time they need me to speak at a fundraiser. I go because I think it's very, very, people need to realize that it's the little things, just like you've seen the signs, but you just kind of overlooked it. Mine was I just let my things down. But my problem is I still feel like when I get around men, I still feel, withdrawn since I finally, stood up and made a stand since I wasn't going to let that happen to me anymore.
Yes.
Why do you think I go through that?
Well, Red, what I will say is first, congratulations on being a survivor, and yes. I'm excited to learn that you had the opportunity to take advantage of our resources at the Partnership Against Domestic Violence in Gwinnett County. And I want to remind you, as I'm sure we told you prior to you leaving us, we are always here for you. Okay. And so to the extent that you want to call us back on an outreach basis to address the counseling issues that you have, we do have a counselor here in the studio tonight. If you want to, after the call, I can transfer you to that counselor so that we can talk a little bit more with you about you having some challenges about being withdrawn around men. I want to first tell you that's normal. So I don't want you to get, so alarmed or worked up about it. But it's just like anything else, any other type of abuse or injury that you would suffer. You're going to be more cautious when it comes to you being able to engage that particular part of you again. And I tell somebody, it's just like if you break your leg, even though they put a cast on it and the doctor tells you it's fine, when they tell you to put pressure on your leg, you're going to be hesitant to put pressure on that leg. So it's the same thing, Red, that it's going to take you some time to be able to say, am I looking at the signs? Am I reading the signs carefully? And can I get into a relationship, a healthy relationship with a man that is respectful of women? And that can happen and it will happen. But what I want to challenge you to do is to now just focus on just dating, if you decide to do that, and taking the time to really process it. One of the things Kimia said earlier, she said, when I look back on it, he was rushing me to get married 30 days after, we started seeing each other.
Yes.
And so what I want to challenge you to do and our listeners is to recognize, I always say in the first 90 days, the person sends in a representative. That's not really the person that they are. They're trying to impress you, right? So they're going to tell you everything they want you to hear. You're beautiful, you're wonderful, you're this. They're going to take you out. They're going to do all of the things they can to smooth you. But after that 90-day, what I call waiting period, I tell people if they're still the same way they were when you first met them, then you can decide if you want to actually start dating them.
Yes.
So it's a good threshold to look at. Just look at what they're doing in that first 90 days. And if what I've been challenging people to realize, if they can't be consistent with you for 90 days, they're not going to be consistent with you within that relationship, right?
Absolutely.
So if you start to look at that first 90-day time frame, what are the behaviors that I'm seeing right now? And when you see the red flags, just say, I want you to be a friend. I'm not interested in dating this person. I see a flag with this person. I just need this person to be a friend. So I always give people the mantra, what is that first 90 days look like? In the first 90 days, you're just getting a representative, okay? You're not getting a real person because they're trying to present their best self to you. And then you get an opportunity after that 90-day time frame to kind of see where their flaws are. And all of us have flaws, right?
Absolutely.
But we just have to look at, are these flaws that are going to be acceptable in a relationship? Red, if you do want to talk to our counselor, I can have you transfer. Would you like that?
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. And good luck to you, okay?
Yourself. You guys are great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to A Call to True Beauty. I'm Daphne Walker, your host. We have as our guest tonight, Kimia Motley, a domestic violence advocate who was sharing with us her story of survivorship. If you would like to call in, you can call us at 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255. We are taking your calls at this time on the issue of, am I a survivor? Can you go from being a victim of domestic violence to a victor and a survivor and advocate for domestic violence? Alan in Lawrenceville, thank you for your call.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you, CAU and Ms. Kimia. God bless you. Thank you for your transparency. And, this is very good because we all need to hear this, especially young men.
Yes.
And as a child coming up, I've seen domestic violence firsthand with my mother and my stepfather. And as I grew, I almost fell into that mode, which from experience, I've never been one to hit a woman or do anything towards a woman physically or mentally, because that's a way of hurting, killing someone's will, which basically for all men, it's a control factor, which comes from their own insecurity. And it's so touching that you said that the first 90 days, what you see is their representative. For the longest, I've been saying what you see is, I'm a big sports guy, and what you see is their agent. They sell that person like that. For them. And, you know, so, and my mother, she told me, she sat me down when I was young and said, look, one day you're going to have, you have a mother, you have sisters, you're going to have a daughter. Would you want for anyone to do something to your daughter that you would do to someone else?
Right.
On a bad way. And my mother, she is very wise. She also said, for any man, she's telling my sister this, any man that don't love God first or his mother, he could never love you. So men or women, if you have a man that you see blatantly disrespect that who gave him life, go the other way. You know, contrary to popular belief, there are some good God-fearing men out there. And Kimia, your story really touched me, because I had an incident November 10th, 1989. I was an armed robbery victim, and I got shot in the neck, in the shoulder, on the side of my chest, that went through the front of my chest, in my right arm, and in my head, and the bullet fragmented on my skull. It didn't penetrate.
Wow.
And, you know, I knew right then that my Lord is real.
Yes.
And he left me here. Now, I myself, I've been in Georgia for 2 years from Michigan, and I'm completely open to, of course, I'm an advocate against violence. And for any of the young guys coming up, I don't care what race, creed, or color, I make myself available to let them know, yes, I've done this. What you doing, I've done.
Right.
I've been there. I was spending $140,000 a month to buy drugs to sell.
Right. Well, and you know, Alan, what I want to say is I definitely appreciate your call and your confidence in saying what is, I think, very a critical statement about it being about power and control when it comes to men wanting to control women. Because that's what violence is about. It's not always just, you know, I'm angry today or I'm frustrated, but it's really about trying to gain power and control over women. And so I appreciate you being willing to share that story to other young men who might be listening to this program and other older men who might be listening to this program, so they understand the importance of recognizing it's not about having power and control over women, but about respecting women. So thank you so much for your call.
Yes.
You all are listening to The Call to True Beauty. I am so excited to have had the opportunity to speak today with Kimia Motley because of her bravery and her courage as a domestic violence advocate and someone who recognizes what it means to go from being a victim of domestic violence to being a survivor of domestic violence. And so as we close out the program, Kimia, what I want to do is ask you, one of the things you said is community agencies didn't respond the way that you had hoped.
Yes.
Family members didn't respond the way that you had hoped. They gave you advice to basically engage in abuse to
yes.
end abuse, which we also know is not the appropriate way to respond to abuse. So what can you tell our listeners about what should family members do when someone comes to them and says, I'm going through this domestic violence situation and they're seeking their help? What should that family member do? And then also, I want you to talk about what other agencies could do to make it better.
Well, one, if for a family member, they should just be supportive, to be a listening ear, to say that I'm here for you no matter what you decide to do. Don't try to minimize the abuse. Or, you know, in my particular case, I always felt like I wasn't a strong Black woman, because as a strong Black woman, I should have been able to fight with him back or beat him back or something of that nature. So just be supportive of the woman to, like I said, just be that listening ear whenever she wants to call. And no matter how many times she chooses to go back, because we all know that they go back on average 7 times, that you're just still there to support her. You may not support her decisions, but you support that person. With the community agencies, I really feel like we need more training with some of them to know how to recognize abuse and what's the correct way to respond to abuse. I think this is something I just have to take, you know, as a form of lobbying for bills or however you do it. But one of the things that happened when I went into the district attorney's office, a lady was sitting at her desk and she was on the computer, and I walked in and she said, how may I help you? And she just kind of pushed back from the desk a little bit and turned her head towards me. And I said, I want to file a protective order. She said, do you know the address? I said, no. She said, well, there's nothing I can do then. And she pushed herself back up to the computer and turned her head away from me. And do you know how much courage it takes, one, to walk into a building like that and say, I need help, and for someone to respond to you in that manner? Now, I know that if there was nothing she could do about the protective order, but could there have been some pamphlets or resources? Look, here's some counseling that I can provide for you, or, you know, take a look at this number that you can call. Be a little more empathetic. I know that you see it all day long, you hear it all day long, but treat each person as an individual, as a person.
Well, I want to thank Kemia Motley, domestic violence advocate, for being my guest tonight on A Call to True Beauty. Want to advise you that she is involved with Haven of Light International Ministries. They also have a focus support group for women who might be victims, who want to become victors against domestic violence, and also works with teens with the Haven of Light Teens program to train teens to create groups at their school to combat dating violence and sex trafficking. They just completed 31 days of awareness. I hope that you've had some awareness tonight on the issue of domestic violence, and also how you can become a survivor and not just a victim. You're listening to A Call to True Beauty on WCLK. I'm Daphne Walker, your host. It's been made possible by Verizon Wireless, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and Clark Atlanta University. Thank you, Kemia, for being our host.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you next time. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Call to True Beauty. If you want more information about support for anyone in an abusive situation, you can reach the Partnership Against Domestic Violence at 404-873-1766 or visit their website at padv.org. You can listen to this program on demand at WCLK.com. The Call to True Beauty is made possible by Verizon Wireless. Cheryl Selloway is the executive producer. The show is produced for WCLK by Donna Brock and Rob Maynard. Thank you for listening to The Call to True Beauty.